Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you can hear me. We are still mobile. We are down here in Austin at the command center of Ignite 360. And I tell you what, yesterday it was close to 80 degrees. Today we were at 34. We're supposed to be at 19 tonight. It is the coldest weather that they have had. And I tell you what, we are feeling it now. It is something else. But we have started yesterday in the book Integrity by Dr. Henry Cloud, The Courage to Meet the Demands of Reality. And we're going to be covering the six essential qualities that determine our success in business. And Dr. Henry Cloud is a phenomenal leadership consultant, a psychologist by trade, world-renowned, and it's some remarkable stuff. And that's why I'm so excited about studying this book, and why I think everyone that will focus on this book will truly have an impact in their life. He starts off today's chapter talking about a story. He says, "So what's the problem?" I ask the CEO. Usually, when someone needs to consult, he does not begin with so many accolades about the problem person. But Brad had done just that in the last 10 minutes. He had told me how incredible and brilliant Rick, his VP of sales, was and how the numbers had increased so dramatically. Now, when you think about it, why would anybody ask for a consultant and say, we have issues, when the numbers are there? The numbers look so good. Everything is rocking. Everything is great. I got to thinking about that. Listen to this. "Well, as good as the numbers are, I have two key people who are about to leave if I don't get rid of him. They've told me that I have to choose them or him. I don't want to do that. I need his performance and abilities. He is amazing at what he does." See, a lot of times as people, when we're building organizations, whether we're the CEO, the CFO, a mid-manager, whether we're building a direct sales organization, we're looking at only one set of numbers. We do not look at everything else that's happening, everything else that's going on. As I studied that, as I looked at it, as I thought about it, I thought, man, this is interesting as we look this stuff through, because so many times there's also that underlying part, the character that we talk about. Listen to what he says. "If you ask me, he's not a bad guy. He just run of the gun and drives people pretty hard and has a strong personality." How many people in your life, upline, downline, sideline, boss, constituent, somebody that reports to you, somebody in a different department who you've heard, he's just a good old boy, he just drives people hard and has a strong personality. See, we look at that sometimes as a positive. We look at it as something that's great, something that's good. And the reality is maybe, just maybe, that's not as good as we think it should be. This is what Dr. Cloud asked his client. He said, "So you think his numbers are what the revenues show? That's how you come up in thinking that he's a good deal?" I asked. "Are the sales figures?" "Well, yes, that's his job, is to make the revenue side work." See, a lot of times business people, smart as a whip, excellent at what they do, can take a business from the ground up and grow it. But they're not people, however you want to say that. See, here's what we got to thinking, and as Dr. Cloud went through this and I started studying, I thought, wow, he's so right. He said, "But what about the expense side?" The CEO didn't know. He said, "That's not his job. That's our CFO's job, our controllers, our project managers." I don't mean watching the expenses. I meant the expense side of having him here. This is what Dr. Cloud was getting at. Listen. If you take what the company pays you as the CEO, including your options, and put it to an hourly rate, it's huge. How many hours do you think you have spent listening to other people talk about their problems with this guy over just the past couple of years? Or maybe this. To that, add the number, the amount of hours of the time of the people that you were talking with, how much did that cost you? To that number, add the lost opportunity of what you and your people could have done in the same time period. To that, add up the amount of the settlement, because during this time period, one lady brought his harassment suit against him. To that, add the cost of finding two new VPs who said they are going to leave if you don't get rid of him, and the lost work and possible clients. And to that, add the distraction to the whole company. Now you're getting a better picture of the expense. See, sometimes we try to justify why we want to keep people around. Lord knows I've done this in the past. I would focus on what I saw as the qualities. Now, I've learned a lot over the last 5 years because John Maxwell and Dr. Cloud and others that have come along, especially Tom Hopp, who's my personal mentor, has taught me how to cut the losses. See, I believe, even in the company that I'm running now, I believe that every person is a potential leader until they prove to you they are not. It's that plain and simple. I've been on the phone since about 6 o'clock this morning with some great leaders flying in from around the country to meet with me here. They're all having issues with the airports. And instead of being frustrated, we're talking about the excitement of when everybody lands and everybody gets here. We're talking about how many people they're going to be talking to in between the flights. See, when you do things like this, when you're talking with leaders, they're always looking at building relationships with people. But too many times, we see something that looks good. We see something and we think it's great. But yet what we're not looking at is how much is it costing us? What's the weight of the bodies and everything else? You know, Dr. Todd talks about a weight in here, but think about the Titanic for a second. The Titanic's cruising through the water. Warning signs are given. Sir, you need to slow down. There's icebergs all over. I don't need to slow down. This boat is unsinkable. Sir, you don't understand. These icebergs, we can't tell how large. The sonar's coming back. It looks like they're pretty big. No, we don't need to slow down. Just keep on cranking. And we know what happened. See, so many times the character, because we look at character as just integrity and ethics, we don't realize the underlying part, all of the different parts that make up the character. See, on the surface, this VP that needed to be let go was doing great with the numbers, but he was leaving a wake of bodies all over the place. See, that you can watch the ship. Remember the part in the Titanic where you had DiCaprio and the little girl on the front and the wind was blowing and you could see that boat just cutting through the water and it was looking good? When a boat starts to shift, the wake starts to get a little wild, you start to realize there's a problem with the captain at the wheel. Maybe he's asleep. The same thing rings true with people. See, as a person goes through the company, as he grows in stature, a lot of times they get rank promotions based on the performance, based on results. There's no doubt about that, and that's important to the bottom line. But if she or he is leaving a wake of dead bodies behind, then we got problems. See, there's always two sides to the wake. See, a leader is going to either keep moving through our lives and add value to it, and that's going to be the task side or the result side. That's going to be positive. But also the relationship side has to be positive. If we're rolling through and we have issues and we're not building from people, we've got issues. If you remember, listen to this, the last book that we just went through, we were fully focused and we were talking about relationships. 87% of the knowledge or the wisdom that you need to succeed in business at any level has to do with people. 13% has to do with the actual techniques, the structure, the numbers, let's say. See, that's what we've got to look at. When a person travels through a few years with an organization, this is Dr. Cloud again, or with a partnership or with any kind of working association, he leaves a weight behind in two areas, tasks and relationship. What did he accomplish and how did he deal with people? That's what we look at. That's how we can tell. You know what? Most HR departments never look at the people side of things. In terms of tasks, what does the wake look like? Is the wake of goals being reached, profits being made, growth of the business, the deal with the people that you're building it? Did things get accomplished? New ways of doing things. Was he an innovator? Is she out there being creative? Or is there a different kind of week? Unmet goals, unmet projections, misfires, missions not accomplished. And from the wake, with the real performance and results, we can tell about the person Results matter. They are the stuff that we evaluate. That's what people look for. They want to know what's the reputation? Have they grown? Sometimes in my bio, you see where it is, say I went from a part-time distributor to owning and running companies, mergers, acquisitions, direct sales, all that kind of stuff. See, at the end of the day, we must look back and see about the wake, if the wake of our work is profitable or not. See, the wake is the results we leave behind, and the wake doesn't lie. It doesn't care about excuses. No matter what we try to do to explain why or to justify what the wake is, it still remains. It is what we leave behind. It is our record. It could be our legacy. That's something to think about here. On the other side is the wake of the relationships. Just as we leave effect with our work results, we leave effects in our interactions with people, their hearts, their minds. I told you yesterday, I remember the couple. It's etched in my brain. He called his spouse or girlfriend, whatever she was, a maggot. That's just one example. I've seen bosses do this like crazy. See, listen to this. We must look over and transform and ask ourselves, what does the wake look like? Are a lot of people out there water skiing on the wake, smiling, having a great time, or having moved through as we've moved through their lives, or are they out there bobbing for air, bleeding, left wounded as shark bait? I mean, you need to think about this for your life. Now, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with you. You got to analyze it. You got to think about it. You got to realize, where am I at on this? You know, what is my people interaction? What are those? Those are skills. They're learned skills, but they are skills. There's absolutely no doubt about that. The thing is, most people don't believe they really want to go through life building relationships anymore. What they want to do is pretend they're somebody that they're not. So they get on Facebook. They have all these personas. In marketing, we use personas all the time in order to create and drive websites based on the clientele, the people that we want. It's interesting as I look through all this. I realize that how Dr. Cloud has really hit it on the head. See, here's the main. This is the main question that you should ask yourself all the time. Are the people that I interact with personally, professionally, doesn't matter, spiritually, would they want to go through it with me again? See, if you've built trust, if you've earned their respect, they will allow you to make mistakes. But if you've treated them bad, if you've not given them everything that they need, what will end up happening is they will not trust you, they will not respect you, and they will not want to go through it again. Truly, that is the power behind all this. It was kind of funny. He shares a story. So recently I hired somebody in an important position and doing all the due diligence in my search. I called two of her former bosses, and I asked a lot of the weight questions on both sides, task and relationship. It was encouraging to hear them talk about her work, the results she always get, and the way people would work with her and clients felt about her. But I also pushed and asked about the downsides of the wake also. They told me a few things about the ripples in the wake, i.e. ways that she could improve. The ripples aren't bad. I paid attention to them as I knew that if I hired her, I would also run into those aspects of her wake as well, and in my estimation, as in theirs, they were not big deals. But this is the kicker. Listen to this. But when I asked them the big question, would you do it again? Before I got the question out of my mouth, one said, in a heartbeat. The other blurted out, absolutely. No hesitation. That was the answer I needed. See, we all will make mistakes. It happens. I remember a good friend of mine, he also likes John Maxwell, and he had an opportunity to go to a John Maxwell conference. But this John Maxwell conference was for pastors. And on stage, John had said, if you're a pastor of a church, bring your book down here. I would like to autograph it. My friend was not a pastor of a church. He just showed up at the conference. he got in line and wanted to ask Maxwell a boatload of questions, and John said, are you a pastor of a church? He said, no, but, and John said, if you don't mind, please go on. I need to invest my time with these pastors today. My friend was offended that after all I'd said about John Maxwell, that he would treat him that way. He didn't see his own flaws, his own flaw in character, as the fact that he'd showed up at a conference that was really focusing on pastors and had bullied his way to the front. Each of us have these ripples that we have to work through, but we have to understand that the weight tells the true story. That's the key. See, this is what Dr. Cloud wanted Brad, the CEO he was talking to understand. Sadly, in that story, the way it ends is not only did the VP lose his job, but the CEO, Brad, was also out of a job because the board of directors lost their confidence in his ability to lead the organization correctly. What's sad. Truly sad. You know, I look at that and I think, wow, why does it have to happen that way? Why can't we just kick it and make it go? See, that is truly the key. We have to be willing to do things that others won't. We've got to be willing to grow ourselves first. See, at the end of the day, that truly is what matters most, is that we are growing inside. If we're not growing, we're dying. If we're dying, we've got major problems. Not just in business, but in life in general. That will be the big problem. That's what we have to try to constantly stay focused on. How can I win by making myself better? How can I win by growing deeper? See, that's it. Listen to this. I thought this was just remarkable. Upon first glance, his test, this is talking about the VP again, his task wake looked good until you begin to see all the other things that he was leaving in the wake that was getting in the way of the task itself. Getting people in high leverage positions, sidetracked, taking time away from the CEO's focus and duties, using resources to solve problems he was causing. And really, on the pure relationship side of things, people were definitely not water skiing in the wake working with him. See, we have to constantly be focused. In this case here, the problem that the sales guy caused and the problems that the CEO had in dealing with those problems were the result in their individual makeups that manifested themselves in a wake of failure. This is why defining character has so much more to do than just ethics and integrity. See, it has to do with digging deep and deep and deep and saying what's all the pieces underneath. Dr. Cloud says this, as I said in the first chapter, when we think about things like character or integrity, we often think of morals and ethics. We want to know about someone's trustworthiness or their faithfulness. We want to be able to know to have we want to be able to audit their numbers. And if those things are in place, then we often put the character issue to rest and begin to talk about the business and performance ability. Yet, when you look at the real world, there are dimensions in a person's makeup that deeply affect the results. The weight that they leave behind that definitely are grimace to the task. See, this is, or germane to the task. This is what we've got to look at. We've got to realize that it is our personal character. It's our limiting beliefs or our lack thereof that's going to help us. It's going to allow us to grow as individuals, allow us to grow our organizations, allow us to change. We got to understand that the majority of what we have to learn is relational. See, if we dig deep, we'll find it. Listen to this. The reality was that the VP allowed himself out of the state of need to become, or the CEO out of the state of need to become dependent on the VP's performance and was afraid to deal with the issues head on. Dennis Dottel and Anthony Corona and I were both, all three, sitting in the conference room yesterday, and we were talking about different people in our organization. From the highest to the lowest. And the one thing that we all agree on, it's just the way things are, is the fact that no one person is indispensable in an organization. Now, would it hurt the organization? You bet. If something happened to our CTO right now, Eric Johnson, boy, first of all, personally, it would devastate us. It would set us back a little bit from a technology standpoint because he's written so much of our code. Every company is dependent on a team of people. Eric has a team of people that knows his code. Anthony Corona. Something happened to Anthony, we would be devastated because we had become friends. It's one of those things that we just have a passion for. Sadly, here's what would happen. We would lose him as a friend. It would be terrible for us. We would go through a mourning stage. Eventually, somebody would rise to the task to take his spot. Dennis Dottel, the visionary behind this company. If something happened to Dennis, financially it would be devastating. Personally, for our friendships, our brotherhood, it would be devastating. Eventually, Cindy or one of his sons or somebody would rise up to take his spot. Me. If something happened to me, the relationship that we have forged would be torn. It would be hurt because I'd be gone. But somebody would step up, probably Vicky or Laura, or somebody would step into my shoes and take over. See, this is the kicker here. And when we realize that personally, when we realize that, wow, we want to be indispensable from a relationship point of view, but we want our character so strong that we're not afraid to deal with those people around us who we may have to let go at one time or another, or may leave or quit. So I truly believe that is the kicker of it all. See, that's what Dr. Cloud is getting to. We've got to be able to handle head-on these type of issues. He said this, if you're a general in the Air Force and you need a new airplane built, you go to Boeing or somebody like them and you tell them what you want. If you tell them that you need a plane to go from standstill to 600 miles an hour in a flash, they will design it one way. If you tell them you need an airplane that will be able to go as high as 45 or 50,000 feet and then drop to go from, you know, below freezing temperatures to the desert in above 100 degree temperature and then back to the North Pole, and you need it built in a way that it won't fall apart, then it's built even a different way. Our character, what makes up our character, is the same way. We all, growing up, and Tom Hopps taught us this when we were going through his book, Time Out. The foundation of your character, the framework of your character, is created in the first 18 years of your life. That's where you get all the foundational parts of your character. However, we also know, because Tom taught us this, that you can break out those walls. You can add on to an addition. You can tweak it out. You can fix and rearrange every part of your character. So you're not stuck like some colleges and some teachers will teach and say, this is all there is. This is just the way you are. It's not true. Character is everything, but depending on the demands and that you're going to put upon it will depend on its design. See, I've gone through things in the military, in the Marine Corps, that most people never have to go through in life. As a bounty hunter, as a bail bond agent, I've seen things on the streets that most people will never see. I've broken into homes and seen the devastation of children who have gone hungry because their father was a twit. I've gone into homes to bring young ladies out who are wanted on solicitation charges and seeing what their kids were having to go through and have understood why their moms are selling their bodies on the street to keep food on their mouths. I've seen things that most people will only see in Hollywood and they think it's kind of cool looking or they don't believe it really happens. It's what's given me a passion to try to understand people more and more and more. I want them to know and to believe that they can change, that it's all about character. I've seen men and women who have been in the sex trade come out of it. Their characters have changed. They've been able to help other people that are going through that same thing. See, the reality is the torque, the weather, the temperament, the gravity, everything, all the demands on your character have to be met. You may have to twist and turn and bend the character and form it into something that's right. Listen to this. Reality is to put demands on people that they have to meet in order to perform and not cash in as well as character. See, that's the kicker. Character equals the ability to meet the demands of reality. At the end of the day, that truly is everything that we're learning in this book. See, depending on your makeup, when those demands come at you, you will either meet the requirements and succeed, leaving a wake of results, or your makeup will be to overcome them or be overcome by them. For some, opportunity itself causes problems. Listen to this. Here's a great example. I'm going through this right this second. This is a living, breathing example of what I'm going through. I've been given a new opportunity, a new position in a new division of a 10-year-old company. The possibilities are enormous, but they're also bringing reality of some tough demands. My travel has increased 100%. The demands of performance have increased 100%. There's going to be a season, and I'm the hardest critic on myself, but there's a season where there are no rewards, where people are even going to question every decision and even the direction we're going, and I know that. I set myself a goal. I wanted to increase the company's sales force by 100 new distributors a month. Right now we're averaging maybe 4. I look at this and I think, am I doing things wrong? I question every move that I make. I'm looking at it on the whiteboard. I'm focusing in. What is it exactly that I'm making happen? There's risks. There's even a huge possibility of failure. Right now, we're putting more money into the division than I'm actually bringing back out of the division. There's also going to be chances to move too quickly as well. We may move too fast in some areas, and that won't be the right direction to go. There's going to be a need to hold back on some things, to strategically make some right moves, and then have the courage to make those moves happen even when they look a little weird. We're going to have to be able to focus on delayed gratification and keep going and keep building. You know, what's this sound like? It sounds like you're building a direct sales organization. See, here's the fun part. If you're with me today and you're in direct sales, you're in any network marketing company, this is what I want you to understand. In your company alone, your VP of marketing, your VP of sales, the whole staff at the command center of your company is going through the same exact thing that myself and my staff go through. Every day we get up saying we have got to build this company stronger, but we cannot move away from what we believe is our principle, is our vision of adding value to people's lives. And every day we're constantly looking for ways to do that. And in doing that, we don't look like some companies do at the numbers saying, let's just go buy the numbers that we need. We don't do that. It doesn't say it's wrong. It's just different philosophies. What we've got to do is bring in people, and what you've got to do is bring in people of character. Character is the key. Character is the passion that it takes. That is what you have to do. Depending on your makeup will depend on how far through that you make it. But if you do it right, it'll work perfect. See, this is what we've got to do. Your brains, your talent, and your potential will intersect with reality and find themselves creating a wake that will be fulfilling for you and enjoyable and profitable for those who are in it with you. See, that's going to be the kicker. That's the great part. See, if we do this together, it doesn't matter. This is why we built the tribe that we have at Radio Free Your Mind. It doesn't matter what company you're in. We're all in this together, and we are all growing in the right direction. Tomorrow we're going to look deeper into the word integrity and what exactly does integrity mean. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning with me for Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.